In Puerto Rico, the governor declared a state of emergency this week after Hurricane Irene hit. Parts of Puerto Rico are still struggling with heavy flooding and power outages. Power is always a challenge there, since nearly all energy has to be imported to the U.S. territory. Energy costs are double what they are on the U.S. mainland. To help bring those costs down, the governor's pushing an ambitious plan to build a 92-mile-long natural gas pipeline. NPR's Greg Allen reports the plan's running into opposition in Puerto Rico and in Congress.
Puerto Rico isn't a large island, just 110 miles long and 40 miles wide, but it can be noisy. Wherever you go in Puerto Rico, tree frogs, coqui, provide the soundtrack, from the capital San Juan to its subtropical rainforests. At Danny Rodriguez's house in the Cordillera Mountains near the town of Adjuntas, after a rainstorm, he says the sounds are intense.
You're going to hear an orchestra of wildlife at night, even birds, little frogs. And if you're like in a spiritual state of mind, you can relax and you can forget about everything that's bothering you.
What's bothering Rodriguez now is the government's plan to bring a natural gas pipeline right through his property. He lives there with his wife and children in a house he built himself.
No machinery. It was all hand done. The reason why I didn't want to do machinery, first, I can afford it. Second, I wanted to keep the land as virgin as possible, because as you see, bananas grow wild here.
Representatives of the government-owned energy company, PREPA, have been by several times recently offering to buy Rodriguez's house. It's on land owned by his father, Luis Rodriguez, who lives just next door. Both father and son worry the pipeline will ruin the rainforest. They're also concerned about safety, the risk of living next to a pipeline in a seismically active area. They've told PREPA they won't sell, but the elder Rodriguez says what they want doesn't seem to matter.
They don't care. They say they need to through the pipeline, and the pipeline gonna go ahead. And they don't care what the people say, and they don't care all the neighborhood. So they only care is the big money.
Big money is right. Hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake, both in energy savings the government says it would bring to the island and in the contracts that are already being awarded for the pipeline's design and construction.
El futuro energético es Vía Verde.
The government's dubbed the pipeline the Vía Verde, or Green Way, and for months it's been running TV and radio ads to build support for the project. But that PR campaign has been less than successful. A poll conducted earlier this year by a Puerto Rican newspaper found more than two-thirds on the island oppose its construction, and a majority don't believe it will lower their electric bills. To the man behind the project, Puerto Rico's governor Luis Fortunio, all this opposition to a pipeline is a bit baffling.
This happens in the 50 states. I simply don't get it.
Some of the opposition has to do with politics. Shortly after taking office, Fortunio canceled another natural gas pipeline along Puerto Rico's southern coast, proposed by the previous administration. Several months later, he unveiled his own more ambitious pipeline project that, as with the earlier one, would shift the island's power plants away from oil to natural gas. Fortunio says that could save Puerto Rico's residents and businesses $1 billion a year.
It's cleaner. Carbon emissions will go down by 64%. And it's safer than oil. And I believe that we need to diversify our energy resources, and there's a way of doing it.
Back in the Cordillera Mountains in the town of Adjuntas, Arturo Masol has emerged as one of the pipeline's leading opponents. Masol is a professor at the University of Puerto Rico and a leader of Casa Pueblo, an activist group founded more than 30 years ago to fight plans for silver and copper mining in the area. Masol says the pipeline poses a similar threat to the area's forests and rivers.
It will run through at least 235 rivers. It will go through 30 habitats of endangered species. We're talking about major deforestation in the most important watershed of the island. Damages, we're talking about permanent damages to critical ecological services.
Plans call for a 150-foot right-of-way to be cleared through the forests that cover Puerto Rico's mountainous interior. In some areas, helicopters will be used to fly in pipeline segments and other equipment. Governor Fortunio says he expects the impact on the environment to be minimal. Of all the possible routes, he believes this is the best one available.
What is the alternative? To run the pipelines through the towns and communities? I don't think that's the safest way to do this. I believe the safest way to do this is to run the pipeline away from the communities and away from the towns.
For Fortunio, there's a lot riding on this pipeline. It's the centerpiece of his administration's efforts to kickstart Puerto Rico's dormant economy. When he announced the nearly $500 million project, Fortunio also declared an energy emergency. The high cost of energy, he said, had made immediate action necessary. He attempted to put the project on a fast track that could have it in operation by September of next year, perhaps not coincidentally, just before he runs for re-election. But the project has become a lightning rod, attracting criticism from political opponents, Puerto Rican media, and in the U.S. Congress. Building public skepticism of the project, one of the first multi-million-dollar design contracts was awarded to a close Fortunio friend, a contractor with no pipeline experience.
This is the problem. There is no transparency.
Congressman Luis Gutierrez is from Illinois, the son of Puerto Rican parents. He has a home on the island and visits often. He's taken a personal interest in the Puerto Rican pipeline.
The governor of Puerto Rico simply decided that he would declare an energy emergency. And so, since he controls the Senate and he controls the House, his party controls the Senate and the House, and he controls every level of government in Puerto Rico.
Fortunio also has linked his new progressive party closely with the Republican Party on the mainland, adopting tough policies on labor unions and government spending that have made him something of a rising star in the GOP. Gutierrez, a Democrat, has pressured officials with the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers to closely scrutinize Fortunio's pipeline project, and his efforts appear to have borne fruit. Corps approval is necessary before construction can begin, and the Corps is now working with other federal agencies to conduct its own assessment of the pipeline's environmental impact. In Puerto Rico, officials with the government power company remain hopeful that they can still meet the original timeline and begin construction next month. Project manager for the pipeline, Francisco Lopez, says his staff has met repeatedly with the Corps and answered all their questions.
My opinion is that they have all the information that they need to take a determination this month, and we are waiting for that.
An official with the Corps says Lopez is overly optimistic. A report won't be done this month, and when the draft environmental assessment is released, there will be a 30-day comment period and possibly public hearings before it becomes final. For Governor Fortunio, that delay is not good news. The pipeline has become a campaign issue, and increasingly, it appears to be one that's not likely to help him win re-election. Greg Allen, NPR News.